Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. Today, we are joined by a human I truly admire. Katie Crawford is a doula, a birth doula, a postpartum doula, an educator, a baby-wearing expert. She is someone you want in your corner, and I am so touched that she's in mine. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Hi, thank you. I'm so honored and happy to be here. I feel like this has been in the makings for a while.
Yeah.
Finally, you're here.
You have been on my list, and I've been like, can you come on my show? You're like, I'm busy, Jen. Okay, I understand. Like, can you come on my show? I got a lot going on, Jen. I understand. And then finally, you were like, hey, we should book that. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I'm really excited.
I'm here.
You have a passion for empowering people and for people knowing what their rights are and their options are and not feeling limited, for people of all sizes and backgrounds. And you do it in a way that's like, hey, I'm here and I want to teach you, but also I'm going to teach you how to like show up and show up for yourself. And the way you do it, I really admire. So thank you. Truly.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everyone like what it is that you do? I think most of us listening know what a doula is, but some people might not. So I'm not going to assume.
Yeah, I do birth and postpartum doula, and so I'm mainly in the birth part, support for the birthing person and their partner. And I think that's always a surprise because people think it's just for the birthing person, but I'm also there for the partner.
Yeah,
if there's a partner. And so a lot of it is education and, you know, holding space sometimes, or in the birthing time when it's happening, being like another set of eyes, because the person having the baby is focused on having the baby. The partner or support person is focused on the person having the baby. And so they're not always like listening to what's going around. And sometimes that's like, there's like red flags happening, not always, but, you know, asking, I always tell my clients, like, if you hear me ask a question, I almost always know the answer, but I'd rather like the providers and staff think I'm like, quote unquote, like not smart, than them take advantage of you. So I'll be like, oh, what is like, you know, what is that IV for, you know, because they're not explaining things. And so again, I always know the answer, but I just want to be like, so everyone can hear in the room, like everyone's aware of what's happening right now.
So basically what Katie just explained is that she's asking care providers to provide informed consent, which is what they yes. should be doing. But she politely is getting in a way that they will actually provide what they're supposed to. And that is such a wonderful example of what doulas do, because there's so much that happens to people's bodies during birth that we don't even realize. Like after you give birth, oh, what did you just inject into my IV? Oh, like, you know, what is happening? And you don't even realize that it's actually happening without that extra set of eyes being like, oh, what were you about to give that person? Oh, you know, like, it's so incredibly frustrating, but you explained it in such a, you know, kind way where I'm sure there are times when you're just like,
I mean,
oh, like all the decompressing you must have to do after doing this work. Tell us about your postpartum work that you do.
Yeah, so I mostly do overnight postpartum care. So essentially, I take care of the baby while the parents sleep. But also while supporting their feeding plan, all my families have different feeding plans. So sometimes they want to breastfeed or chest feed. And then other times they want to bottle feed. And then other times they're just like, I don't care what you do, just don't come get me for the next 8 hours. I'm like, that's fine. And then sometimes I'll do laundry for them or dishes. If there's dishes, you know, just some like light tidying things and make sure the baby is happy and healthy. And then I write notes if I see anything amiss, like, oh, the baby's really gassy, like they didn't poop at all, so just to warn you for the day they're gonna poop and be fussy probably. Yeah. So those kind of things.
And I know,
and then to provide like emotional support too.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's priceless. And looking out probably for signs that someone might be showing any, you know, signs of postpartum depression or anxiety, and you can totally be there for that. Now, I know that we're seeing more insurances cover birth doulas. Are we starting to see that with postpartum yet?
A little bit. So in Minnesota, this is where Target started. And I think Target is starting to do postpartum, like including postpartum care, but they're also really, some companies, it's a company by company.
Okay.
So it's not really up to insurance always. It's like what the company will have their insurance cover. And sometimes they're really particular. So you have to have like all these numbers and all stuff. And I'm just like, like, it's so irritating. So maybe in the future, maybe that's like one of my future goals, is to like get legislation together for insurance to get all doula stuff covered, not just birth. And sometimes birth is not covered either.
Right.
It depends on who, like what you like certified under, if you're certified, which is also a whole nother.
Yeah. A whole nother road we can go down.
Bag over.
I will always say that one of the greatest gifts my mother ever gave my husband and I for our son was a doula. My parents helped pay for our doula, birth doula fund. And I really wish I would have known about postpartum doulas because of all the needs there are in that postpartum time. That is absolutely haze. Totally. And I love how you said you just meet people where they're at, like formula feed, bottle feed, whatever, helping someone with breast and chest feeding. And I think we sometimes have misconstrued ideas of what a doula does, and that, oh, well, if I'm going to formula feed, I wouldn't have a doula there because they might shame me. And I'm like, no, like they're going to help you. Like you can rest, like you're a parent. You need to rest too. And you need that support. So I think it's important that we know that there are different ways that we can access doula care, and we don't need 1,200 swaddles, but we do need that extra care, especially if you don't have a lot of family support local and friend support close by. Tell me about the work that you do as an educator. And I know we could – baby wearing will be next because that's a huge passion of yours.
Yeah.
But you do a lot of childbirth education, and you also do it around supporting people of size and have specific classes that you run occasionally. And I'd love to hear a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. So I'm a childbirth educator. So a friend of mine who's also a doula, we started – Your Body Can Birth.
Yes.
It is a, I love the name. I was like, Your Body Can Birth.
It's so good.
And so we do, it's usually like 4 weeks of education around just the labor process, like what you would get in like any other childbirth class, but then some like tips and hints and, you know, antidotes about birthing in a larger body, because that's what other classes don't have. It's usually geared around straight size sizes and people that are not in large bodies. So, you know, or like nutrition. I mean, nutrition can be important, but like you have to eat only healthy things. Mm-hmm. So then we talk about like the stigmas around that and disordered eating sometimes. And so we're actually looking at expanding a little bit, adding ones that are geared for people who have like disordered eating or eating disorders too.
Yes, so important.
Totally. So, and then I'm also a lactation consultant, so I educate there too. And I help a lot of clients with like larger chests and breasts because there's not a lot of help for that either. So, and I have much experience in that
department. So do I.
So, I know, right? I'm like, you have to prop it up with whatever you have. So I say, like, there's no shame in the prop game. Like, we put whatever
beach
we
towels
find.
Work awesome. Who needs a little cloth diaper? I need a towel. Lift my boob up.
I'm like,
but I love that. There's no shame in whatever you need. And then also acknowledging that not everyone who exists in a larger body has a large chest. And so working with a lactation consultant that, again, will meet you where you're at is so critical and helpful. All right. Now bring on one of your favorite topics. I know they're all favorite, but I happen to feel and think that baby wearing might be another baby of yours.
Yes, it is. I love baby wearing. So I've been baby wearing for over 10 years since my oldest, who's 11 and a half, since he was a baby. I still have our OG Moby wrap that I got as like a baby shower gift when I was pregnant with him. And so it kind of evolved from me just, you know, doing what I knew and had. And then it wasn't until I had my third that my friend, a good friend of mine, was the like president of our local baby wearing chapter. And so she helped me postpartum with my third, and I made a baby carrier. And so then she came to show me how to use it. And then I won one from a baby wearing company, and it was like over. After that, I was like obsessed. I was like, oh, they come in all these colors and patterns and, you know, different textures and fabrics. And so I just kind of went down a rabbit hole and then became an educator, started going to meetings locally. And then I took a little break because my oldest was not really baby wearing much, and I didn't have my fourth yet. And then when I had my fourth, when I was pregnant, I like, that's how I like told my friends I was pregnant. I had like my belly wrap, my like little 4-week belly wrap with like a wrap. And I was like, what do you think? And they're like, oh my God. So I did some videos like belly wrapping, because a lot of people don't know that you can use wraps to wrap your belly, especially if in a larger body, like those belts and things are not made for large bodies normally. And so you can use wraps to like wrap your belly and hold it up so that you're not in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those hips be hurting. And then after I had my fourth, I wasn't even like in the like business to like make videos on it. I was just wrapping my baby. And so I had a TikTok, and a different TikTok, not the one I have now. And I posted a baby wearing video, and it got like a number of views. And my brother was like, why don't you have a baby wearing TikTok? And yes. I was like, I don't know. He's like, make a baby wearing TikTok. So I did. And then I started posting more about baby wearing on my Instagram too, which my Instagram is like my baby. I love all my Instagram peeps. But yeah, I just started posting more and then kind of getting more involved in like the behind the scenes things that were happening with like different companies too, which is like a whole drama.
Yes.
But I'm also not afraid to call up companies that are being not the best.
I love that about you. There are certain baby carrier companies that do have larger sizes that you do not hear me recommend for a reason, because they have done some awful things, not only in the community, but
shady.
Like sued every other baby wearing company. So it's hard. Baby. Yeah. Yeah. There are. I'm with you there. There are some companies I can't get behind. And I love that you totally are willing to vocally stand up. Now, you said that you got into baby wearing by actual baby wearing. At that time, were you already a birth professional, or was that your entry to it?
Mm-mm. So, into birth professional?
Yeah. Into birth, becoming a birth professional.
No, so I got into birth work because of my third pregnancy and birth. You know, a lot of times we are brought to things through trauma, right?
Yeah.
Which unfortunately is my experience.
Sorry.
And so our third, I wanted to have a doula, but I couldn't afford one. And so the hospital that we delivered at had like intern doulas, and so I was like, okay, great, like I'll still have a doula, it'll be fine. I ended up having to be induced after 40 weeks for like heart rate things for the baby, and then they also didn't have like a number of like, I wanted to try not doing the epidural because of my previous experiences with it, so I just like didn't want to do it. So I wanted to try nitrous oxide, and they were like, oh, we don't have tubing for nitrous oxide in the whole entire hospital. And I was like, okay. And so I was on Pitocin, and those contractions were hitting.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't, and they wouldn't let me get out of the bed to get in the bathtub because of the baby's heart rate. And so this is before the doula thing. And so I was like, well, you won't let me get out of bed to get in the tub. You won't let me, you'll have like, get me the epidural then, I guess, because I didn't want to do the fentanyl.
Yeah.
IV fentanyl. And so then as soon as I like opted for the epidural, I remember her saying this, she said, we're going to cancel your doula and save it for someone who really needs it.
Whoa.
And so at the time I was just like, okay, like what the F ever.
Yeah. You really needed it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I was like, oh, that makes sense to me because an epidural, you know, but the epidural didn't work. I was having back labor. My baby is OP. It just, epidurals don't always work for back labor. And so anyway, very traumatic labor delivery. He's here. He's fine. But then after in my postpartum, I also had a very not the best postpartum experience. And so I did more research on being a doula because I wanted to learn more. And then that's when I found out about the maternal death rate and how many Black birthing people are dying in the United States. And I was like, I can't just sit here and do nothing. Like, what? Like, I don't want people to go through what I went through. And so then I got a scholarship to take a birth doula course in 2019. And so I took a little break. I, like, you know, did the mom thing with the three of my kids. And then when my third got a little bit older, I was like, I'm ready. Ready to do this. And so I've been a birth doula since May 2019.
It feels to me like you've been a birth doula for so much longer. I think because of how you dove so deep in and became so educated and you're very confident and competent in your work. So it feels like you've been a doula for a decade. Like, I would hire you without hesitation. And know that I would be fully supported. So clearly for some people, it is like a passion that is unlocked. And that is definitely, I believe, is the case for you.
Yeah. I definitely feel like most people are called to birth work. Is that like, you just wake up and you're like, I want to be a doula today. Like, something has to happen or like something, you know, comes to you and you're like, this is where I need to be. And I mean, it's not, and being a doula is not for the faint of heart. There are some days when I'm just like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Like, I get burnt out. Like, the things I experience at hospitals, not just for, like, my clients, but, like, things that I personally experience, like, the way I'm treated. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why am I putting myself through this? But then I, like, you know, then I have, like, clients who, you know, go through some hard things. And I'm like, that would have been harder if I was not there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, this is why, you know, this is why I do what I do. And so, yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
And for anyone listening, if you're planning to have an epidural, you can still plan to have a doula. Oh, and yeah. I would encourage you to have a doula, like, regardless of your birthing plan. Like,
because they just have you sit there if you have it, like, well, I mean, back in the day, I guess, not back in the day. How many years is that? Almost 7 years. After I got my epidural, my third, I just, like, laid there.
Where we know we want people to get into different positions about every half hour to help with the progression of labor. And that is where a doula can be so beneficial. Like, bring me that peanut ball. Let's break down the bed. Let's do, there's so many things that we can do when you have an epidural to help, you know, progress labor. And
half the time, I don't even wait for the nurse. I'm like, I, like, look at the partner. I'm like, let's go.
Yes!
Like, I'm not waiting. I'm waiting 30 minutes, like, if, like, or 40 minutes because the nurse is not back in the room. I'm like, we're moving you. I don't have time for you to, like, just be sitting here. Not, like, in a bad way, but, like, you need to move. Like, I want you to have your baby. I want you to feel like things are happening and, like, you're not. Sometimes they feel like they're, being inconvenient if they're, like, wanting to move themselves. And I'm like, we're moving.
Yeah. And that, I love that, sometimes feeling being inconvenient. I'm very guilty. I didn't call my doula because I went into labor in the middle of the night and I didn't want to bother her. I thought, you know, since it was so early, I didn't want to be a bother. And then finally when we called, she's like, why on earth did you wait hours? I'm like, it was the middle of the night. She's like, I told you to call me no matter what. So yes, doulas are incredible.
I can't doula myself. I'm the same way. I'm like, with my fourth, I, like, told my husband I had so many, like, false labor. I was like, do not call anyone. I'm not really in labor. I, like, sat in the tub, like, having, like, freaking back-to-back contractions. My husband's like, okay, I won't call anyone. Like, please tell him all this. My wife's lost it. She's going to have a baby without anyone here.
Yeah.
I'm all, yeah.
Yeah.
It's easier said than done, totally. So I'm just like, if But I do have clients who are like, oh, we didn't, like, they'll text me. And I'm like, I told you, do not text me in the middle of the night because I will not hear it.
Right.
And they're like, well, there's just little contractions. I'm like, well, what if it had been? You'd call me. I will. Like, I just need to know what's happening so that I can, like, get there if I need to get there.
But just imagine, like, we're, like, saying you have someone to call in the middle of the night when things feel different. Like, someone waiting for your call. Like, call, don't text, because they do sleep. But, like, someone waiting to support you. And that is, I mean, I'll never forget arriving at the hospital and my doula meeting us there. And she just took her index finger and rubbed it down the middle of my forehead. And I legit felt like I got an epidural. And I never once asked for pain meds because I had my doula. Now, that was my journey. That's not everyone's. Yeah. But I felt so supported and I felt safe in an environment that didn't always feel safe to me, having that support person there to teach me how to ride my contractions like waves and being a person in a bigger body. It was really terrifying to think about bringing someone into such a naked and vulnerable experience. And my doula happened to be like the size of my thigh. So it was, at first it felt more intimidating, but then I realized, oh gosh, she doesn't care. Like, she cares about me and she wants me to feel great. And she's not judging me or making me feel uncomfortable because of my size. But looking back, like, she also had me speak to another doula who was plus size to make sure I felt comfortable and got my questions answered. And that was fantastic. And part of I created, you know, the plus size, doula connections list, having doulas that are size inclusive that Katie has been on, like, that want to support you and not feel like, oh, I don't know if they're going to judge me or not. Like, I want you to know that hardly anyone will judge you. But we have those fears, right? And so knowing that there's someone like Katie that's like, no, I'm like designing classes on how people of size can be supported. Like, that is how much I care, because you see a gap in that education and you see a need. And I really value that so much. And I appreciate you. Yeah. We need more of these voices coming at this from a compassionate way. And, you know, also as a Black woman, saying I've seen the disparities, and you even alluded to the fact that when you're in that birthing space, like, things happen and you're treated a certain way. And I'm sure it's racism and fat phobia, and I'm sorry, and that's awful. But you being there helps to create change. And I appreciate you. It shouldn't be that responsibility on you to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry that that happens, but. I appreciate you being there.
I mean, the more I do this work, the better boundaries I get. Yeah. So, I mean, there are hospitals that I don't go to because of, like, previous experiences. And sometimes when I have interviews with clients and they are birthing in those spaces, I will be like, I will not go there.
Yeah.
And usually I try to email them before, like, a whole interview so that I'm not wasting their time. But I've had a few times where clients are like, no, we'll, like, if you've had a bad experience, we don't want to go there. So, like, tell us where to go and we'll, like, hire you, and which is flattering. But also, like, I want to make sure they're doing it for, like, them and not, you know. But, yeah, man.
But doulas are the gatekeepers of their communities. They know what hospitals are really ideal for the type of birth that you want, right? Like, not everyone wants an unmedicated birth. Not everyone wants to have a cesarean if they've had a previous cesarean. Some people want a vaginal birth after cesarean. So you can meet people where they're at and be like, hey, I know this hospital is more VBAC friendly, or I know that this care provider is more size friendly. And then I know which hospitals I wouldn't go to. So I, you know, But that really honestly pisses me off that there are hospitals that you won't even go to because of how you've been treated. Like, that's a problem they need to work on.
Oh, yeah. There is. And unfortunately, like, there are some great nurses here, but there are some awful nurses here, too. And I mean, I call it nurse slander, like, my nurse slander videos. And I always get, like, whenever I post something about a nurse that's treated me terribly, I get, like, messages and people get mad and up in arms. And I'm like, do you think I'm just making this up?
Right.
Like, that, you know, or they're like, oh, you know, like, you should be nice to nurses because they're, you know, they're burnt out. And I'm like, do you not think I'm burnt out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that give them to be able to treat me that way?
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason. Like, I'm not there to make their job. I'm literally there to make their job easier.
Yes.
And those are the best, like, experiences I have is when I come in, there's just like, thank God you're here. Like, I'm going out to chart. Like, best wishes. I'll see you when you're pushing the baby. You know, like,
yes.
Great. I can't chart. I don't know what you're charting. Like, I can't do that for you. I can't do IVs. I can't do put the monitors on the right way so that, I mean sometimes I need that. but like those other things that take, I don't know how to read the heart rate thing that well. So just like there's space for both of us.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So you mentioned monitors and then, you know, sometimes you put them in the right way because we know that often for people of all sizes, those monitors are a pain mm-hmm. in the neck, but especially for people in bigger bodies. So could you maybe share some of the ways that you provide maybe slightly different support for people who are plus size during pregnancy and birth and postpartum and what you would want someone listening right now to know?
I mean, first of all, I think the biggest thing is that like being plus size in a large body does not automatically make you high risk. I feel like that is just completely thrown around unnecessarily. So if you are low risk, outside of if they tell you you're high risk, first of all, we can find a new provider who doesn't think that.
Yes.
That's the first thing. Second of all, if you're low risk, you don't necessarily need continuous monitoring. So you can do intermittent monitoring, which means like every 30 minutes or every, you know, 20 minutes, whatever the hospital policy is. And there's also the Monica, which is like a sticker monitor. And so sometimes that works better on larger bodies.
Yes.
So always kind of push for that. and then, you know, sometimes we have to use two bands to make sure that's long enough to go around. We don't have to like, I've seen some nurses try to like really stretch it and like pull it and like it hurt. It like digs into the client. I'm like, just get another freaking band. Like it's not that serious. And so, you know, yeah. And also making sure we have enough pillows to make sure we're comfortable. I never bat an eye in doing position changes. And I feel like sometimes there's like, we gotta get another nurse in here. I'm like, no, we don't. Like, let's go. I don't got time for this. Like, or if they're like that, I'm like, when this is the leave, I'm like, hey, partner, we're grab the other side of the sheet and we're gonna get you over. Like, it's not a big deal to me at all. Because I went through that with my third. They were like, you can't do a water birth because of your size. And we can't, you know, we can't safely say that we would be able to get you out of the water if there's an emergency. My husband was like, I'll get your butt out of it in a hot second. And then, like, it's called adrenaline, people. Like, we'll be fine. But anyway.
Well, no. Well, let's jump into that briefly because we hear that as a reason, BMI is a reason to not have water birth. Often people are allowed, I'm using quotes right now, to labor in the water, but they can't give birth in the water. But we're looking at low-risk individuals are cleared for water birth. So the odds of anyone having a low-risk pregnancy blacking out of nowhere and having no time to see signs, which very often there's signs that things aren't going the right way and we want to get someone out of the water, just to say that because there's a very, very, very small percentage, a very, very tiny risk that we shouldn't allow something that has great benefit blows my mind. And that's the same with like birth centers that have BMI restrictions. Yes. These are low risk individuals that have been cleared for having a low risk pregnancy. And just because you exist in a larger body does not automatically mean that you're having a high risk pregnancy. It is so frustrating.
Totally. I hate it so much. Whenever I like have a client who's low risk and they're like, oh, I'm high risk and I'm like, why? Because of my BMI, and I'm like, fine, like, let's go somewhere else. Or if they're really low risk, and I mean, I do kind of vet through their wants sometimes. And I'm like, do you know that you could have a home birth?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want any interventions. You're worried about interventions because of your size. Let's find you a home birth midwife. We can fundraise the funds to get, money's a thing, like, let's fundraise and get covered. And let's just have your baby home. Mm. Or, you know, I think there's only like one birth center here in Minnesota that does higher BMIs.
Wow.
Which, I don't get it. I will never get it.
I will never get it either, because a lot of those, and although I think this is the first time I've actually said I'm not bad mouthing midwives to like preference something, because I'm always like, I'm the biggest champion of midwives and doulas ever. But I'm like, but I get frustrated with midwives who work at birth centers with BMI restrictions, because so many midwives advocate and legislate to reduce the cesarean birth rate when, hello, we know that having access to the midwifery model of care is going to reduce the cesarean birth rate. But you're saying, oh, just because you exist in a larger body, you're not going to have access to the care and facility that overall has a much lower cesarean birth rate than a medical facility, and you're a low risk person. Like, it's again, like, totally. I love my midwives, but like, we need to be having this conversation about what are your true fears and where does that come from? And how can we bring in other people to help educate you to feel more comfortable and competent in supporting people of all sizes? Because if we really want to reduce the cesarean birth rate, we need to include these conversations about how racism and fat phobia plays a role into what is happening during labor for people of size, people of color, Black people. Like, this is a really important conversation. People with different abilities too. Like, we need to be talking about this.
Yes, I agree. Or just, you know, scheduling the cesarean or suggesting cesarean without even letting person attempt a vaginal birth because of their size. And I think it's also ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. And there's no evidence behind that. We know that cesarean birth has a much greater increased risk for people than having a vaginal birth. So, especially with postpartum complications as well. So,
yes. And recently, so I don't know how some places have more access to things than other places, but wound backs, it's like a little sticker dealio that goes over wounds to pull out moisture and to make sure it's healing. And so, a lot of the times when people do have cesareans, because there are times when cesareans are needed.
Of course.
Especially for like large bodies, that incision is right where we have, like, our bellies can hang over that area, so it can be harder to heal and it can have more complications in healing. So if you have a cesarean or need one, ask for a wound vac, and you have to kind of ask for it before they can be jerks about like, oh, you don't have time to get it. Like, get the wound vac.
Anecdotally, I've heard so many positive stories about womb vacs, but there was a study that showed that it wasn't as effective. So I'll put the study in the show notes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'll share the study with you too. I'm all about you do the research and, you know, become educated and then make the decisions that is best for you. And I need to dig into it more, but I will provide that as a, hey, I'm hearing so many positive stories. Doula Katie's hearing so many positive stories of like,
and seeing
seeing them everywhere, all over social media, any like plus size pregnancy group, or even just like, get a womb back if you're having a cesarean birth. But there is one study, so I think it's good to know and to look at it and ultimately have these conversations with your care provider. But like Katie said, have them early on. Like, don't have them as they're wheeling you into the OR for your, you know, to meet your baby. Have them early on and see what your care provider thinks about womb vacs. But just for anyone who asks and then they're like, oh, there's a study, at least you know now that there is a study and you can look at it. But ultimately, what works for some doesn't work for everyone. And, you know, you got to find what works for you.
I'm interested in the study now. Okay.
I know. But I mean, hey, there is also the study about how we should just induce everyone now to reduce rates. And everyone in the birth world is like, what?
Do not. On the ARRIVE study.
Yes, the ARRIVE study. Yeah. Yeah. I know. So, I mean, that's why I always say I think evidence-based, like, we need to talk about evidence. It's important. But we can also peel apart a lot about, like, how was this study conducted? Like, what was happening during this study that came to these outcomes? Who was involved in this study?
Studying?
Yeah. When I spoke at the National Institutes of Health, they asked, like, Jen, what research would you like to see? And I was like, I want to see low risk people with high BMIs watched throughout the trajectory of their pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, and then give me some accurate evidence to to talk to people about what their true risks are, because when we look at a lot of the studies, they're quite old. And I'm wondering, did these people already maybe have high blood pressure going into pregnancy? Were they already pre-diabetic? Like, I have so many questions. So
medication or not medication.
How were they treated during their pregnancy? Because we know that that can play a role too. So yeah, there's so much, and all of these things go back to like having a doula there and in your corner to help you remember to ask things and assess for things. I mean, we have studies to show, which I agree with these studies, no problem, no quorums, that doulas help to reduce cesarean birth, the use of epidurals, even like forceps. Like, there's so much in this, and I'll put that study in the show notes too.
Yeah.
So we know, and that ACOG promotes doulas as well. So yeah. Okay. Well, going back to, we got on fun soapboxes. I think we could get on a million soapboxes. Are you plus size and pregnant or trying to conceive? Do you wonder where you can find cute plus size maternity clothes or when you'll start showing and how to embrace your pregnant body? What about having a healthy pregnancy and how to reduce your increased risk? Find the answers to these questions and so much more within the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. From nutrition and physical activity to prenatal care expectations and the importance of hiring a size-friendly care provider, you'll not only learn information to help you make informed decisions throughout your pregnancy, but start to develop a new relationship with your body. Download this guide and start using it at any point in your pregnancy. Stop Googling and start feeling empowered today. Use code PLUSMOMMY to get 20% off the My Plus Size Pregnancy Guide and audiobook. What else would you want someone who's plus size and going into pregnancy to really know? Like, what are some important things that you want your clients to know?
You don't have to be weighed at your appointments. You can say no thanks, or you don't even say thanks. Say no. No, I'm not getting weighed. And ultimately find a provider that is, you know, like healthy at every size or fat friendly. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're with someone who, like, from the start is not on your side, because they're not be advocating for you at all. So that's like the biggest, like, just you need to get a good care team together to, you know, work towards the things you want for your birth. And, you know, I also am not, I mean, I used to be big on baby showers, like, for all the things, but you don't need all the things. Like, use that, a baby shower for, like,
a doula fund.
Care.
A doula fund. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Walmart has a great maternity plus size section, apparently. I found it in my fourth, and my mom, like, was like, look at that plus size. I was like, sweet. And also, like, you can also wear anything you want. Mm-hmm. Like, also wear whatever you want when you're pregnant. Like, you know, you're in a large body, you don't have to, like, look a certain way. Like, you don't have to wear muumuus every day, but muumuus are comfortable. I mean, I love a good muumuu, but I mean, it doesn't have to look like it does in, like, TV and all that stuff. Like,
but it also can, right? And I think that that's what's cool is that now we're seeing, like, Etsy has gorgeous gowns where we see those, like, glamorous maternity photo shoots that I felt when I was pregnant. Oh, that's not for me because I'm big. And now I'm like, hell no, that is for everybody. And it's great that we have access to those gowns. But like Katie's saying, it's great that Walmart has plus size maternity clothes that are just straight up affordable for people that might want a few items. But overall, you can wear t-shirts and yoga pants throughout most of your pregnancy. You might want to size up occasionally and get something cheap on Amazon or wherever you like to shop, or secondhand stores. You don't have to buy a whole wardrobe. But if you want to rock a gorgeous ball gown for a maternity shoot.
I do.
Yes. I wish, right? I wish.
I was going to do that for my fourth, and it just didn't. I wanted like the big, like, gaudy gown with like the fur, like, sleeves and the belt. Like, I just wanted it all. And I don't even know, I was just very sick Yay, hyperemesis. Oh. Shout out to them. And that's the other thing. Like, if you have hyperemesis and it's very common to lose weight. If you have hyperemesis, like vomiting times 10, like morning sickness times 10, don't let a doctor be like, oh, you lost weight. They like, leave. If they say it to you, leave. Get up and leave. Find a new doctor. No.
Yeah, we've heard stories of that on the podcast of people. So hyperemesis, you have a lot of nausea during pregnancy. We're talking way more than just your normal morning sickness. And it's hard to eat. It's really hard to eat. So people lose weight. And we hear from plus size people, like Katie said, that congratulatorily, like, oh, you've lost weight. And it's like, because I'm not eating and I'm not nourishing myself or my baby. Right.
They're like, I'm dying. Yeah. Basically, that's how I felt every time I had hyperemesis. Oh, also, don't get a boppy. Don't do it. I mean, great company. That's aside. They don't fit plus size bodies. Just pass. Don't
they're
do it.
Older
it
ones.
Will not stay around.
Yeah, their older ones are bigger. Awful, but they have a newer one that is size inclusive.
Is
yes.
Okay.
No, they sent me one. It fits my big body. Yeah.
I will happily be proven.
Yes. No, I mean.
I think I just always see like hand-me-downs. Like, oh, my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
I do like my best friend. Terrible name. The deluxe version.
That's good.
It will fit anyone. And I have one in my office somewhere. But I also love those. And I could actually put it on to where it was like a little shelf. So I could literally like put my baby on it and stand up and walk to the couch, sit back down, and then nurse the baby to go anywhere. It was great.
No, I love that one, but I 1,000% agree with you. The older boppies, like going to consignment store to save money and grabbing them, and you're like, what is this donut? You know, it's great to sit on after giving birth. Those smaller boppies, I will say, I used that.
Because I used mine for like a pillow on my neck. I would like lay in it.
That too. It did not fit around my hips. I had to like stretch it. But yes, Boppy has sent me a larger one that fits my ginormous hips and size 26
Boppy,
body.
If you want to send me one.
Yeah, no, I'll let them know because
Boppy.
Yeah.
If you watch this, Boppy, yes. I'm available yes, for reviews.
Because they are a great company. And we need
yes,
and
they
I
are.
And more That's companies amazing. Are realizing, oh, we need, you know, pillows that fit. And I find that people in smaller bodies prefer the my best friend and all of those other pillows that are actually larger because, you know, you got to have your baby on it and your water bottle and a rattle and all the cloths and all the things. It's a lot.
A burp rig.
Yeah. But I agree. Not all things are designed for larger bodies and we need to have accessibility to those things. So you're not struggling with your pillow while also trying to nurse and pop a boob up and do all these things. Yeah, it's way too much. It's way
too much.
Yeah.
And especially in postpartum, you're already so vulnerable. You're just like, you're crying over a boppy.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't need to. No crying over boppies.
I know that from personal experience or anything, but.
Oh.
The most thing, you just like, postpartum is rough, yo. Like, mm-hmm. and that's the other thing I am very passionate about is like speaking more about postpartum because people don't talk about it as much as they should. We're just so concerned about the birth plan, which is important, but we also need a postpartum plan.
Yeah.
So, and there's some things that don't work for larger bodies than postpartum. And we need, you know, there's also no shame in like ordering things to help, you know, you navigate life better. I am 2 years postpartum and I just got a grabber a month ago because I have like sciatic and tailbone like stuff from birth. I am so mad at myself that I haven't had one my whole life. Like, I don't have to like hurt myself and bend over for laundry, socks everywhere. I'm just like, grabber. Use that to put your socks on. Like,
yes,
get yourself a grabber.
That is a fantastic tip. I love that so much. It's so affordable. I'm only 5 feet tall and my dad came out to visit just a couple years ago and it's hard for me to get into the dryer. And he saw me struggling and after he went home, he had one sent to the house as like a surprise and he got me a grabber. And I was like,
oh.
I am almost 40 now. Where has this been all my life? As,
right.
You know, a short person, but also recovering from birth, whether that's a cesarean birth or a vaginal birth, like everything feels a little different and maneuvering can be tricky, but a grabber can be a parent's best friend. I absolutely love that so much.
And, you know, I always used to think they're for like older people, and like my grandma had one. Nowadays, they're like kind of fancy. They're still inexpensive. I bought two because they were came in a 2-pack, and it has like a little magnet on one side. Ooh. So if I have like my keys fall or like a nail, I can like magnet it up.
Wow.
Get yourself a grabber.
Yes. Get yourself a grabber. I love that. I love that. Anything else that stands out with postpartum for plus size folks?
Sitz baths are great. Making sure that you find one that is comfortable to sit in. Oh, and also get yourself a shower chair.
Yeah.
Or a stool. Sometimes the chairs have arms on them and they hurt the thighs. But get a shower stool.
That's wonderful advice.
For pregnancy or postpartum.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
It's okay to sit in the shower. Yes. I just feel like, and also you couldn't use the handicap bathroom. I don't know how life changing that was when someone told me that, like, because sometimes bathrooms are kind of thinner and it's hard to maneuver to like wipe your butt. Mm-hmm. And so, especially if you're postpartum and you have like stuff going on down mm-hmm. there. So if you're out and you like, even if you're not postpartum, you can use the large stall. Yeah. You don't have to save it for like what you think who needs to use it. And I like someone told me that like years ago, and it was literally like life changing for me. And I was like, I can use like the large stall.
Yes.
And so I don't have any, like, I don't, you know, the stigma behind it. I used to feel bad if I used it. And I'm just like, I'm going to the big stall. I don't care. I need room to like,
yeah.
I need room.
Yes.
I need room.
I love that. So, I started using it and it felt like, and then of course I'm always mindful if someone else with disabilities needs totally. It. I'm like, I'll wait, you know, of course.
Yes.
But to know that like, I can be more comfortable and I can wipe my butt without doing aerobics. Like, this is fantastic. And like, I'm going to knock over a stall. Like, this is, this is wonderful. So I think sometimes we just need to be given permission to do things. And yes.
Yes.
Katie and I are giving you permission.
Well, like Katie told you, you could do
yes!
that.
Yes. I love it. I love it. Now, before we go, we have to just talk about how baby wearing is for everybody. And it doesn't feel that way. And if you want to baby wear, you got to watch. You got to go to Doula Katie on Instagram. And then is your TikTok the same handle as well?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
And watch your videos because you really help to make it easier. Like, I'm envisioning you bouncing with your little one on your back right now to get them up in the right position. Like, you just you make it so real. And, you know, as someone existing in a larger body, like seeing someone else in a larger body wear their babies and helping to make sure their babies are in a great position and addressing those fears and concerns that we have of like, am I going to hurt their hips? Well, here's how you make sure they're in the right position. Like, share a little bit about how baby wearing is for everybody.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is like your baby was made for your body, no matter what size body you have. And babies are also just very like bendy and movable. So their legs can go around you. It doesn't matter like how like large you are. It doesn't like, they're fine. The biggest thing you want to make sure is that they're not overextended. And that's usually more of a carrier issue than a body issue. So I see like, you know, when I help people, your size is the least concern to me when I'm helping you baby wear. I'd rather you just like wear the carrier the correct way to help your body not hurt. Yeah. That's the other thing I feel like I help a lot with is like people like, my shoulders hurt. Like, I don't think I can wear this because my body shape. And I'm like, well, let's see you put it on. And then I'm like, oh, well, you know, this was a justice. And they're like, oh my gosh. I'm like, yes, exactly. You can wear your baby.
Do you do virtual consults? So people, anyone listening,
I do virtual all the time.
Can work with you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I do in-person, virtual, and then I do go to people's houses sometimes. But, you know, I also, when I started making more videos, it was just like wild to me. Some of the things people are told when they are in a large body, like, oh, you can't baby wear because you're going to suffocate your baby. Or like, I'm like, guess what? It's because they're like people that say that are either they saw something and they don't know if it was the size. It's probably they just didn't wear the carrier the right way. Yeah. It's usually never has to do about body, ever. Like, the biggest thing that when it does have to do with body is because the carrier doesn't fit you because the company didn't make a carrier that fits everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's a them problem and not a you problem.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So there's a bunch of companies that have size inclusive carriers that will like fit your body comfortably. And so, yeah, it's never usually a person problem, like the person who's wearing the baby. I want you to wear your baby. I want everyone to be able to feel comfortable wearing their baby too. And so that's also why I make videos. And I, you know, sometimes I just make myself look like wild because I want people to be like, oh, look at this like large Black lady wearing her baby and like dancing and being a weirdo. But
I love it. So. Like, I literally feel like I'm hanging out with you in your living room and we're like drinking tea and you're just putting your baby on. Like, and that is why, like, I just, from the minute I connected with you, I just felt like, oh, we're like besties. Like, I feel like even though this is actually the first time you and I mean, we've messaged for years, but like we've actually just yes. The two of us talk. Like, it just feels so natural. It feels like we've just hung out at conferences all the time.
Yeah.
But that's totally. What I think everyone will get from you too. And why I so enjoy the way that you teach. Cause it's so accessible and it's so real. And you're just amazing.
Thanks,
bro. Well, is there anything else, any words of wisdom you'd want to leave with another plus size parent or parent to be? And then we'll have you share where everyone can connect with you.
I mean, I have a few things. A, your body can birth, obviously. Every body is a baby wearing body. And you can fire your nurse.
Yes. That's a great one. Yes, advocate for that care that you deserve and you don't have to feel stuck.
Yes, you deserve good care. Yeah. Everyone does.
And hire a doula.
And hire a doula. Yes. Yes, do that. Yes.
Where can everyone connect with you?
Everything is Doula Katie. So D-O-U-L-A. And my name is spelled a little uniquely. So K-A-Y-T-E-E. And that's on everything. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I'm most active on Instagram, I feel like. So if you want to get a hold of me there. And then my email is also doulakatie@gmail. The Gmails.
Well, thank you again. I truly encourage everyone to follow her. I mean, she's kind of TikTok famous too. So like plug in there as well. I know you love your Instagram community and we feel a deep connection to you there. But, you know, she is TikTok famous. So follow along there as well. And truly thank you for the work that you do and the advocacy work
that you
do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. I had the best time.
Oh, good. Me too. Me too. Let's do it again. All right, friends. Until next time, take care. Goodbye.
Bye.